Alrighty, good afternoon, everyone. One of the things that I'm seeing lately on Facebook, you can see a lot is this debate about what's going on in New York. We're talking about the abortions being approved up to the moment of death, or a moment of birth, sorry. Now, as Christians, we know that abortion is wrong. We see that it is nothing but a mother murdering its own child, and that's not where we're getting at today, though. But what we can do with this moment is we can use this as our opportunity to teach and preach the Word of God and show them, because of this choice that they're making, that there's a thing out there called morals. Regardless of who you talk to, they have an idea of what is right and what is wrong. In this same situation with this murdering of a child, they're going to see that they can say, well, it's right for a mother to make a choice or it's wrong to make a choice. Either way, they're proving that there are morals in this world. So that's what we're going to talk about today, this afternoon. And what we're going to do is we're going to use our morals to prove that God exists. And we've used everything else in the world to talk about it, and we've shown that God exists. But now we're looking in deeper. First thing we're going to look at is called the anthropological study, which states that rational beings who can think and evaluate. So that's what we are. We're rational beings that can think and can evaluate. Simple way to put this is to call it the argument for morals, which we understand that there is a right and there's a wrong way. Again, your right and my right may be two different things, but there's still a moral code. There's still a moral compass as to which one is right and wrong to us. Now, we've seen Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. You can look there if you wish right now. Matthew 7, verse 12, it reads, therefore, all things whatsoever you do, that you would do to men, should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Now, based on society today, we can look out there and we can see that that's kind of gone askew. The normal moral compass nowadays is, what can you do for me? How can you benefit me? They think that the world revolves around them, that they are God's gift to this world. But until we get into the Bible, we don't see any different. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, I don't really want to help this person. This doesn't really benefit me. You know, this is really going to cost me to help them. But then you hear that little voice in your head and says, you know, I really should help them. They really need it. Where did that thought come from? Did that thought be something that you got taught? Is it something that was programmed in your head? If this was something that came from the evolutionists, as they would like to say, is you look outside, you see animals. Do they have the same thought process? Do they care as long as they get that piece of meat? Where did they get this code? Where did we learn it from? Brethren, we have a thing called morals, and it had to have come from somebody with a plan, somebody such as the Creator. As a parent, among us all here, we always have that dreaded, you walk around the kid's room, and this is why I always yell at him and tell him to get that clear path for me, because stepping on toys is probably one of the worst things ever. If you didn't know, a little tiny, normal, average 2x2 brick, just for fun facts, can hold up to 950 pounds. That's why it hurts so much. Have you ever heard that toy turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry for being in your way? Unless it's a talking toy, no. Have you ever, when you're out in the woods, walking around on a trail, smack your head in that tree, a branch, did you hear the tree ever say, oh, hey, I'm sorry for being in your way. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. A dog bites you. Do you ever see any remorse in that dog? Or did it do it for a reason? Now, we may train a dog to imitate what we think is remorse. We may train them to know that they're going to get punished for biting, but no more than what's instinct to them. No more can they apologize. We didn't learn it from outside sources. We couldn't have. We did not learn from inanimate objects, nor creatures or animals or so forth. So where does it come from? If we couldn't have learned it from monkeys, which we are supposedly descended from, according to the evolutionists, where did we learn it from? Now, most of us in this room, you know, we're familiar with going out into other countries. And if you aren't familiar with it, get to talking to some of the missionary workers. You can see a difference in the cultures about what is right and what is wrong about certain subjects. And you can easily step on somebody's toes and really offend them if you do things wrong. You heard the phrase of when in Rome, do as the Romans do. This applies to other countries. But the simple fact is, each culture has their own set of morals. It's not that apes in this area of America grew up and all of a sudden they got morals and nobody else in the world does. But every culture in the world, they have in their conscience whether something is right or wrong. They have a feeling of oughtness. It's something that they need to do. I recall even earlier when in my 20s, up till I was 20s, that it was in my moral code that fornication was wrong. You should save yourself for marriage. And as we know in God's word, that is exactly what you should be doing. But along the way, that got put in the back burner. You get with the wrong crowd. You get into stuff that you shouldn't be getting into. And that moral compass kind of starts flipping everywhere which way you go. And it wasn't until you start looking at God's word that you really know what is really right and what is really wrong. For me, at that time, my moral code, my difference between right and wrong, was it was wrong to be doing anything different than what the world was doing. But we know, based on God's word, that it's different. Let's go to Proverbs. We're going to go to 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, we may think we know what's right and wrong, but we're not the ones that get to decide what's truly correct or what's truly wrong. The things that are proper, the things that are right, those are decided by God. Continue. Also in Psalms 37, similar notion here. 37:23, it reads, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. If we want to be good men and women, we need to let God take control. Let God dictate what is right, what is wrong, not our feelings, not our emotions. Let God decide what the truth is. God has dictated that abortion is wrong. God has dictated that murder is wrong. It's not our opinion. It's not our choice. It's God's. And only his instructions are what's going to get us to heaven. And we know that. Again, we can argue, we've made the argument, this building didn't just magically appear. The clothes on our back didn't just magically appear. Somebody had to have a plan. They had to write it up, draw it. There had to be a creator. There had to be somebody that built it. Much like this, we know that morals exist in this world. Because we know that there is people, everybody knows there's a right and there's a wrong to everything, somebody had to create them. Somebody being God. Logically speaking, there is no other option. There is no other option. Did a human being wake up one day and didn't get it on the notion that he was going to come up with something? Did a human being just, I'm going to have a brand new idea. We're going to call it God. Or was there more to it? If we think about it, you know, we got a lot of farmers here, or those with a farming background. When you go and fix a problem, do you just randomly, magically come up with some new idea? Or do you take the tools that you know, the materials that you have, and you try to work something together to create this idea? Now, we kind of, somebody watching might, oh, that's a wonderful idea. But really, the person has not created anything new. All that they've done is manipulate what's around them. Now, for the last several weeks or so, I'm trying to prove, I cannot with my hands, neither can you, take nothing and create something out of it. I cannot with my mind make wood appear. There is nothing that man can create that is 100% new. Nothing. With that thinking, how did we create God? Let's think about that for a moment. We've all been taught our five senses. We have our sight, our hearing, our taste, our smell. Missing the fifth one. Touch. Feeling. Thank you. I knew I was missing one. Imagine trying to teach somebody that's never had that sensation. Try teaching a blind person what the color red was like. How could you do it? A person that's born blind never would understand it. Try teaching a person that's never heard a word in their life how to sing and how to keep pitch. It's not going to happen. How could we, if we've never seen or heard of God before, come up with him? If we'd never seen him? Based on those five senses, we couldn't have. Continue on, we have scientists. They have proven there are a few senses in the mind itself has. One of them being perception, memory, and then we have the consciousness. Perception being how we view things. We take things, we look at them. Okay, I've seen wood before. I know this is kind of nice and smooth. I already remember that. Our memory. Now, we're not talking stuff we retain. We're talking more like what can your mind really do? And it's pretty amazing. If you think about it, you know, I remember many times when I was younger that if I didn't go to work, I'd make myself sick. Not like make myself gag or nothing, but mentally, you would make yourself sick. In the same manner, you can go to work. This is one I've done more recently in my years, is you force yourself not to be sick. You force yourself, oh, it's a mind over matter almost concept. Same concept, I don't know if you're aware of this, there's a, well, it's a symptom you could say, that a woman can have themselves go through the experience of being pregnant, even though they're not actually pregnant. They can have all the signs, developments, skipping their monthly periods, and so forth. They can mentally think it in their mind and make their body go through it. Our mind is a very powerful tool, but it doesn't create anything new. And our conscious is just simply being aware of ourselves. Animals themselves, they are not aware of themselves. We are. We're unique. We're different. All of these things, all these senses that we have, that have been found, that have been proven, are things how we can understand the world around us. I remember before I became a Christian, one of the things I thought about was, well, I can't believe in a God I've never seen him before. Never seen it before. But how do we know the term God if somebody somewhere had not seen God before? Man cannot create new words, create new ideas based on nothing. When dealing with cultures of different languages, and it's sometimes hard to find literal translations of words. I've watched Wayne, and I'm sure others that have been translating, you can watch them. Sometimes they don't quite catch a word. And that's because they don't know that word. So they have to have an idea around it. They have to know the concept of the idea around it before they can find words in their native language to translate for. Think about that for a moment. Say we came up to somebody, they didn't know what the word God meant. We have to explain who he was. But who explained it to the first person in the beginning of time who God was? If we didn't have a word for it before, how did we magically just all of a sudden get it? The only way we had it. Think about other words that we have that are from the Bible that we know about. We know words like priests. How would men just all of a sudden think of if we're going to have priests? How would we know about sacrificing ourselves spiritually? How would we even know about the spiritual world if we'd never seen it or heard it from our own five senses? How do we know about any of these things? How would we know about heaven? How would we know about hell unless we'd been there ourselves or if it had been revealed to us? These are not things that we could just magically come up with on our own. We had to get it from a source. And as we talked about this morning, we saw the Bible's from God. We saw that without a question in our mind that the Bible is from God. And God has revealed everything to us. None of his words been left out. He tells us there's a heaven. He tells us there's a hell. He tells us who he is. And we've seen several accounts of being in front of Adam and Eve. Don't you think that she and he taught their children who God was? They saw him. And then so forth. The idea of a deity came from seeing one, being with one, hearing one. There's no other way for us to create a brand new idea out of nothing. If we think that's possible, then that obviously proves the evolution thing, that nothing comes from nothing. We are not much different. Looking at the world around us, looking even deeper into ourselves, there's no logical reason or no logical argument for this. You cannot deny that there is a creator. And that is from what we've been studying lately, hopefully what everybody can see. Among us, we know that there isn't. There is no way we can deny it. Hopefully these tools have helped you guys to be able to go out and teach yourselves some other ones. Because I got friends, and I'm sure you do too, that do not believe that there is a God. But here's how we can do it. We can teach them. We can show them. Ask them, what's your opinion on abortion? And they'll say, well, it's morally wrong. Well, where did you get those morals? Where did morals come from? We didn't just get them from nothing. It came from the Creator. So again, it could be just a stepping stone for us getting into that door to get them into reading this Bible. Because we know He's true. As we talked this morning, that means everything else in here is true. That means we need to do certain things. Acts chapter 4:12. Let's go there. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than the name of heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. How do we know about salvation? How do we know that we even need to be saved unless somebody told us? We couldn't have created that. Christ is the only name which we can be saved by. God is the only one from whom we can follow that will give us that afterlife, who's taught us. John 14:15. We've seen that before. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. We want to please him. We know that he's real and we know he exists. We have to follow his rules. We have to fix our moral compass. It may be waving off somewhere else. But God's point is the straight way, the true way. And we've seen that. And then we know from that point on, Romans 10:17 tells that we have to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. We're not going to learn how to fix that compass unless we do it. I remember before I even became a Christian, we were talking about you have to be searching, you have to be wanting to know the truth. My compass was feeling like that. Where do I go? I'm lost. Get on God's way and it's solid. It does not waver. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him, and we must believe that he is a rewarder. Since God is real, and God has stated his spoken word, we see that he also speaks in Acts 17:30, talking about the repentance, talking about fixing that moral compass. It may not be perfect, but as long as our compass is pointing towards God, we're on the right path. Go back to Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and following, you see the example of the eunuch. He's studying, he's learning, he's questioning things. He says, here's water. He understood he needed to be baptized. A lot in the world understand that. What's stopping me from being baptized? He said, you need to make a confession. And he makes that confession of Christ. And then immediately, he didn't wait. Immediately, he was baptized in that water. Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that is done for the remission of our sins. That's the only way we can be forgiven. Any other path will not get us there. If there's any among us that want to study more, I know this subject is not as heavy, verse heavy as we did this morning. But if there's more to study, let me know. If there's any that need the prayers of the congregation, you're struggling with things in your life, and you need help, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We're here to help you. Let us, the congregation, know. As we saw last week, the statistics are more in favor for a creator. If the logic's there, and the logic says that we have to change based on his word, don't wait. Now's the time as we stand and sing this next song.